chatter. It's so good. Good morning. I love a big full room with lots of mommies. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get us started. So hopefully when you walked in the room, you got a ton of stuff. You got a binder. Pause. Willie, does this sound okay? Does this sound okay to y'all? Does this microphone sound okay? Okay. It sounds weird for me up here, but that's fine. You got a binder, you got a book, and then you came in here and you got a name tag and you got an outline of what we're teaching every week. You got the lesson for today. You got the group roster and you got a habit tracker. So I'm just loading y'all up. Anyway, so that is what you need to get started today, and we are going to jump right in. Good morning, Marie. Hi. Come sit at this back table with Julie, Van Gorp, and Nancy right here. Okay, let me pray for us, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for this church, this body that you've provided for us. These women in this room, I already know so much about every single woman in this room by the fact that she's sitting here today. Father, I pray that you will meet her right where she is and that you would provide everything that she needs. Father, I pray for our time together. I pray that you would knit our hearts together in our groups, that we would make new friends. Father, that we would hear things that sit in our hearts just the right way that you want them to, Father, and that we would take these truths that we have learned and we would apply them to ourselves, to our marriages, to our parenting, so that it might be honoring to you, Father. When we think about what it means to live wholeheartedly, Father, I pray that you will capture all of us and that we would, all of our days, live wholeheartedly for you. I pray, Father, for this time together, we just invite you to come and have your way with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a couple of announcements before we really get going here. So the curriculum, if you look at the outline and the overview, for this semester, you will see we have 10 weeks together. We're taking a break for spring break. Most people's spring breaks, it's very hard to coordinate all these things, but we're doing the best. And you'll see we really have two things that we're doing. So we are going to be going through this book kind of at a fast pace, but I'm just trying to get so much in. So we will be doing this. The Body Teaches the Soul by Justin Whitmell Early. And we are going to be doing Wives of the Word, which that you don't have yet because I'm still revamping this and going to get it to Sarah Cook, and it will be to you in the next three-ish weeks, definitely before you need it. So that's our curriculum for this semester. A couple of other just announcements, housekeeping. If you have not signed up for the women's retreat, oh gosh, do I really encourage you to do so. It is on boundaries, and it is Janine Dungan who's going to be teaching that to us. It will be here at the church, so you don't have to worry about like hotels and all of that stuff, so you can pop in and pop out. It's the first weekend of February, that Friday night and that Saturday. And I think it ties so nicely with what we're talking about here in Mom to Mom as we just think about how to live in a healthy way and not allow the secular thoughts with boundaries, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's very secular that is selfish. And then there is the swing over here to all the stuff that is like we shouldn't have any boundaries and we just kind of live as this open book and this is not good either. But how does God order this? And so that's really what that's going to be about. Highly recommend that. So if you have a little girl and a dad or a grandfather in your life, please sign up for the dads and daughters dance that we are going to have at the end of the month, Saturday, January 31st. And we're bringing back like the old, like how we did, like Virginia and I did this, and Alden and I, and Kim, that we had, and Cindy, yeah, all of us old schoolers, we had this daddy-daughter square dance. So we have like a square dance caller coming in, and the girls can wear their cowboy boots and whatever, and they're going to learn how to square dance with their dads, and we'll have crafts and good food and an ice cream bar, and just it's going to be really sweet and fun. So sign up for that. That's for 4 years old through eighth grade for those girls. Have any of y'all tried the new app? Did you do name tags? Uh-huh. So you just go, so if you have the app downloaded onto your phone, it should say FastPass, and you just click about 45 minutes before anything starts, you click it, and then you go up to the kiosk with the scanner, you scan it, push print, and you are done. So like if you're down here on a Wednesday night eating dinner and you want to check your kids in, you can do it here and then just scan. If you are running late to church, which I know never, that would never happen, but if that did happen and you were in your car, you can check in the car and do that. So anyways, it's just really great. And then you can also register for all events. Sermons are on there. This is going to really be our one-stop shopping, so highly recommend that. And then our homeschooling room is open today. So we have been praying about this, praying for provision for this. We've been praying over it. So if you have a child in there for the homeschooling room, and you have some feedback for me that we can tweak that, make that any better, like just be gracious with us as we're learning how to do this. I just checked on them. They all look like lovely little angels doing their work. So I'm sure it'll be great. But please give me feedback because we do want that to be the best experience for you and your child that we can make it. So, okay. So let's launch into wholehearted living. So I probably have talked to some of you about this because I'm sort of an evangelist for this. I am so excited about this semester because I have been thinking about these things, pondering them in my heart, making notes, having notebooks where I'm making little notes. I started writing some stuff 2 years ago on all of this. When I first read this book, Atomic Habits, I read this book maybe 2-3 years ago. And I read this secular book, and I thought, this is amazing. This guy has figured out how God makes the brain, even though he doesn't really know that that's what he did. This is how habit formation happens and our orderly lives work. And he is describing things that are consistent with Scripture, and he doesn't even know it. It was so interesting to me. So I started making notes from concepts I was reading in this book and how they tie to theological concepts versus passages of Scripture. And I just started doing this a couple years ago. Well, then I listened to a podcast maybe in September from this guy, Justin Whitmell Early, who was coming out with a new book on which the tagline here is 10 essential habits to form a healthy and holy life. And I was like, are these my notes? Is this, I have been thinking about this stuff, and he put into words in a much better way the things that I had been thinking for the last several years. And some of the practices that I have incorporated into my life that have really been transformative in how I live. So I heard him on one podcast. Then we had this anxiety workshop here at Apostles. And it was like, this was a little bit the missing piece from that anxiety workshop. She did a really good job of describing the brain and how it works, and she was saying all this, but she didn't quite make the link between those things and the theology behind all of that. So it was shortly after that that I listened to this podcast, and then I talked to Jonathan, and he said, well, I'm interviewing this guy, and I have him on my podcast, too. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm such a fan. So anyways, there's a lot of momentum here. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, Jonathan did a two-part podcast with him and gives you kind of an overview of his story and how he got here and why this is important. So that is why I'm excited about this. Because I think if you were like me, you've had times in your life where you're like, I'm a little stuck, you know? And I can't kind of think my way out of this. I know what I should be doing. I know what I want to be doing. I know how I want things to be, but I am stuck. And I have had seasons like that in my life where I've been really stuck. And I'm like, how am I going to get myself out of this? And it was really through understanding how I can, with one, just one day at a time, with what God has given me, how I can make little decisions of the things I want in my life, how that over time makes an enormous difference in the life of anybody, but particularly a believer. I have seen this in my life. And so as we think about what wholehearted devotion is, we are going to talk through this today. And I'm just going to give an overview kind of the concepts that we're going to go through, and then we're going to get more into the details of the of this book. So if you look at the contents are. The contents of this book, The Body Teaches the Soul, and his first little chapter there, How a Lawyer Who Cared Only About the Life of the Mind Began to Realize That He Had a Body. And then he kind of tells his story of how he got to this place. And we will go through breathing and thinking and eating and drinking and sleeping and sickness and pain and exercise and sex and technology and worship and death and resurrection. And Lizzie and I were talking about this because she has finished this book too. And that our favorite chapter is actually the last one. It's really good. So I can't wait for that. So we're going to cover this really in the next 5 weeks. So we're doing a real deep dive into this book. So, but you have a schedule of how we're going to do that. So, and let me say from the outset, I want to be clear on a couple of things. This is not about anything I say, please hear this. This is not about rules or legalism or like a to-do list or a checklist of how to self-improvement or how to get God to be more pleased with you or no. This is being recorded, so I'm saying this out loud, that my words are going down. This is not what that is. This is also not an overemphasis on the body, as we'll see. We'll get into that in a minute, but it is how we live wholeheartedly, our entire beings of devotion. So as you'll see on this, on your lesson here, so Jesus' words in Mark 12, he is referencing from Deuteronomy 6, when he's asked, you know, so what should I be doing? What's the greatest commandment? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And he says, this is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. When we love God like this, it helps us to love others well. A.W. Tozer says, the whole life must be an offering or it is no offering at all. So how do we give our whole life to the Lord? So today we're going to talk about what does it mean to be wholehearted. We're going to talk about a theology of the body. We're going to talk about the power of habit as God made it. We're going to talk about how this book is structured and how you can use it. And then we're going to go through a little exercise where I'm going to make you guys do a little thinking at the end before you go to small group. So, okay, so let's jump in. So wholehearted love. Wholehearted. If we're going to love God wholehearted, the greatest commandment calls us to love God with our entire embodied thinking, desiring selves, so that nothing we are and nothing we do is left untouched by devotion to Him. Wholehearted, our whole selves. So as we think about what it means to love Him with our souls and our minds and our bodies, so loving God with our souls, this is the center of life is the soul. The biblical definition of soul is, it refers to the living self. It's the seat of desire. It's where your identity is. It's how you direct yourself in life. It's kind of what, it makes who you are you. This is the soul. We're told many, many times in scripture, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The wholeness of who I am, all my identity, all my desires, all the direction I want to go, that I would wholeheartedly worship you. So that is our souls. Loving God with our minds. So what does that mean? This is the thinking, discerning, truth-seeking self. So the mind includes understanding, judgment, imagination, moral reasoning. It's how we think through things. It's how we process. It's how we problem solve. It's how we strategize. It's how we organize. It's how we go to scripture, how we think through things, how we discern. So if we're going to love God with our minds, it means that we are going to be submitting our thinking to God's truth, rejecting shallow and compartmentalized faith, and thinking carefully about scripture and doctrine and life. So that is what it means to love Him with our minds. So we are told in scripture to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, to be transformed. So that's a metamorphosis word. That's like a caterpillar to a butterfly. This is something that is transformed by what? The renewal of our minds. Well, how do we renew it? By thinking what is true. And God has given us a brain to be able to discern that. This is part of the transformation process that we go through. So how do we love God with our bodies? And this is going to be really a huge part of this focus that we have today. And I want you, as all of you in this room are raising little people or big people, wherever you are in that stage, you interact with your husbands. And you yourself think about this for yourself, how this impacts all of life. And we'll talk about this in the theology of the body, but this just, I think, needs more consideration sometimes than we give it. So in Mark's gospel here, he does use this word. He includes the word strength, which is pointing to our physical life, our energy, our action. We're told in Romans 12 that we would present our bodies, this is our bodies, as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And this looks like thinking about our actions, our habits, our just physical presence, that we would offer this to God and honor the limits and the rest and health as acts of obedience. So if we love God in this way, here are things that we will be rejecting. We are going to reject Gnostic spirituality, which we'll talk about right here in a second, which is soul only, an intellectualized faith, which is mind only, or moralism, or an activism, which is body only. Do we ever see this in just the society at large and the swings of how people can kind of get into a camp and kind of do it this way or get into a camp and do it this way without wholeheartedly loving God with all that we are? So, a theology of the body. I think we have to figure out how we got here to figure out how we can get out of here. This is, a lot of this is just old school theology. I mean, like real old school. Like a lot of the New Testament is written to deal with this concept of Gnosticism. So Paul addresses it all through his letters. He is trying to get people away from this bad theology. So Gnosticism is an ancient religious philosophical movement that teaches that salvation comes through secret or special knowledge, which awakens this divine spark within a person and liberates the soul from the material world. Because the material world is viewed as intrinsically evil or inferior. But we know that cannot be true, because at the very beginning of Genesis, God told us that everything that he made was good. So it cannot be evil. It can be corrupted by sin, but it cannot be evil because God made it good. So, and this special knowledge, you think about how much this gets into our theology if we're not careful. Like we have like a little special secret way to please God more or hear God more or like something that's kind of special that is just like for us. You know, we need to be careful of those things. Does the Holy Spirit speak? For sure. Of course he does. But God has revealed everything that we need in the Holy Scriptures, and the canon is closed. So we need to be very careful if we think we have a special other something that comes from outside of that, because it's not consistent with how God speaks. So that's Gnosticism. Well, Gnosticism eventually led into dualism. And modern evangelical dualism is a lot of what we deal with today. Another book that I think I've told you all about this, but listen, girls, this book, it is so good. Love Thy Body by Nancy Piercy really talks about how this philosophy of dualism pretty much is at the root of most of our social ills we have today. She does it masterfully. Because dualism says this, that there are two fundamentally opposed realms or principles. We have the spiritual and we have the material. We have the sacred, and we have the secular. We have the soul, we have the body. And they're kind of seen as separate things. So if we view them separately, then we can treat them separately. And you think, this is just a lot, like this is a lot of intellectual talk about whatever, but I'm telling you, you would be surprised if you start to think about this, how much this actually impacts your life on a day-to-day basis. She goes through this book and she talks about the way that we've been able to separate this ultimately has led to the culture of abortion, because the body is separate from the spirit. So we can kind of do what we want with our body because that's different from the spirit. It has led to the hookup culture because it doesn't really matter, you know, where we are with somebody physically, because, I mean, our soul and our body is different than that. It has led to gender confusion, because if we can just think our body to be what we want it to be and it's not actually that, then that's, I mean, you start to go down this whole trail of what this has led to. If we do not think of ourselves holistically,
where that actually leads. It leads to really bad places. So those are kind of the extreme things that we see in our culture. But the question is do I think like that about myself and my children in some sort of way, that I'm more focused on one thing and not looking holistically about my life and my children's life and the raising of my children? Am I not looking at this holistically? So that's where dualism has left us. And I put this really little helpful chart in here so you can kind of see how this breaks out, like a view of creation, how we view the body and matter, like, you know, just his creation at large, what our problem is, what our ultimate problem is, what the solution to that problem is. You know, if our problem is sin, and the solution is a biblical theology, is redemption of creation through Christ, and this modern evangelical dualism is really more about a personal salvation and then a future heaven. Like, I'm saved now, like, the solution is I'm saved from my sin, which is true. I mean, remember, with all of these philosophies, there's truth in this. But then I'm looking towards a future heaven, which is also true. But it leaves out the living of how we live daily, faithfully, thinking that all this stuff is muck and mire, when God has put us here for a plan and a purpose. So anyways, you can kind of look at those, but it's really interesting as you think about this and how this actually impacts our lives. So what do we know? The importance of our bodies. All right, let's think just real basic. I mean, we know it's important because this is how God came to earth, in a body. So this is the incarnation and the resurrection. This did not spiritually happen. Yes, it spiritually happened, but it physically happened. He came as an actual flesh baby, born of an actual woman. Mary went through the process of pregnancy and childbirth. He ate, he was hungry, he was tired, he slept, he had to walk far, his feet were tired, he talked, he taught, he had feelings and emotions in his body, and then he died in his body. And here, because this is why we're even sitting in this room and we believe what we believe, he was resurrected in his body. This was not some sort, this is what everybody at the time was trying to say. Well, and this is what people say today. It wasn't a true bodily resurrection. It was like a spiritual resurrection. It was like his spirit was taken up to heaven. That is not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach that he was bodily resurrected. He got out of the grave. I mean, the whole story, they went to the tomb. It's empty. There's no body there. Where's the body? I mean, the whole thing is about his body. And this is how God, when he says he is going to give us new bodies, and we will have a new heaven and a new earth. These are real things. These are not like spiritual, ethereal things. This is how God is going to do it. So it's crucially important that we understand that this matters. It matters. God is God. He could have done this any way he wanted to do it. He could have just made us spirits. He could have made us like angels. He could have made creation any old way he wanted to do it. But he made us. I mean, you think right here, right now, your body, your eyes are looking at me. God made those eyes. Nobody made them. God made them. They connect to your brain so that you can see me and process what's going on. Nobody did that. God did that. You have blood going through your veins and your heart right now that no human can replicate. God does that. I mean, God made you. So this is precious and important. It's precious and important, and we need to think about how we love him with this body that he's given us. So he says, Justin Early says here on page 4, he talks about his crash out. He was a big thinking guy, and he talks about how he... this whole thing starts with him having a complete and total, utter breakdown. He couldn't sleep for for like 48 hours, went to the hospital. They gave him some sleeping pills, and he had a complete panic and anxiety attack for like a month, and he could not think his way out of it. He was a Jesus-loving, he had been in seminary, he had been a missionary in China. He knew all the right answers, and he could not fix this problem. And so he says here on page 4, he says, to me, the Christian life was fundamentally a head project. It was about knowing the right things, which I assumed would trickle down and eventually shape the rest of my life. It never occurred to me that the Christian life is also a habit project. So I went about my life ignoring the mundane places I thought were unspiritual. I mean, that's dualism. And how much do we do that same thing? So Justin Early says in this book, he talks about the swings that we are tempted to make. Either we idolize the body or we ignore the body. He says, there are two major ways we separate body and spirit. We either ignore our bodies, treating only the spiritual as important, or we idolize them, acting as if the physical is all that matters, and neither is biblical. Ignoring the body, he talks about, is just this ancient form of Gnosticism, the idea that only the spirit matters. Religious people are often the main perpetrators of this heresy. But simply put, biblical Christianity is radically pro-body. As C.S. Lewis puts it, there's no use in trying to be more spiritual than God. So if God thinks that this is important, we don't out-spiritualize God by thinking it's not. God created us with bodies, redeemed us through Christ's body, promises to resurrect us and glorify bodies. Creation, incarnation, and resurrection are central to the gospel. So that's the one temptation. Then the other temptation is idolizing the body. So he says, idolizing the body, on the other hand, happens when we worship creation over the creator. This is the error of materialism, the dominant worldview of our age. It reduces life to nothing but atoms, brain chemicals, or evolution, denying the spiritual side of our existence. That has a lot to do with this. Like, we love the body so much that it doesn't matter. So, like, I love my body so much, I can do with it whatever I want. This is the materialism, you know? You can hook up with whatever. You can do whatever you want to the body, and it doesn't really matter what you do to the body because it's the body. It's not really me. It's not my soul. I can just do what I want to do. Which, of course, is not biblical. So what's the alternative? The alternative is imaging God in our bodies. So we were created to bear the image of the triune God. And this is what we can do with our bodies. He says on page 25, but the gospel offers a radically different paradigm. Our bodies are meant to image God, to show what he is like. To see your body as a creation that God loves. God loves your body because he made it. God loves it, and then go use that body that God has made to love others. So he has this, and he does this at the end of every chapter. He talks about this image of a window. Windows and mirrors is this concept he uses throughout the book. He says the image of a window can remind us that we don't close the curtains on the body and ignore it. Like, oh, doesn't matter. Neither do we just stare in a mirror and idolize it. But rather, we throw open the curtains and let God's love animate our bodies. Then we throw open the window and move out into the world and use our bodies to enact the great calling of life. To love God and neighbor. And this embodied life of love is what we are made for. This embodied life of love is what we're made for. So that's kind of the theology of the body. So then let's talk about, okay, that's great. That's good. I understand that. So, like, now what? That I have this body. So, habits talk about the how. Habits talk about the how we do this. So, the power of a habit. So, a habit, what is a habit? How are we going to define this? A habit is a routine or practice performed regularly. It's an automatic response to a specific situation. We all have them. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. So, so he says, and this is so true, on page 4, as he's talking about habits, he says, habits are best understood as the water we swim in. They are the things that are around us. They just surround us, and so we just don't even really notice them anymore. And it's often the things that we notice the least that form us the most. You think about this in terms of being a mother, like the waters that your children are swimming in, the things that are forming them, that you that are just around that you don't even think about, like what are those things, you know? Part of this is being able to take, as I say many times, a non-judgmental, objective look at the waters that you're swimming in. Because you can't change anything unless you see it first. So, and then my grandmother was the original Atomic Habits person. Mary Galley, she had so many good little Mary Galley-isms that I quote her about every day of my life. But one of the things, she was a God-loving, servant-hearted, little energizer bunny. And she said all the time, she said, make all your gestures automatic. And I repeat that in my mind all the time. She's like, where you put your keys, it goes in this pocket. Where you put your planner, it goes right here. Where you put your lipstick, it's in the second pocket with the little zipper. I mean, like whatever it is. But she just always knew. And if ever we had a question about where anything was, Mary Galley knew because she made all of her gestures automatic. She had habits all over the place that just formed her life that allowed her to love so well. I mean, she, at her funeral, it was the most precious thing. I mean, she made a roast for everybody who moved into the neighborhood, who died, who had a baby. She would drive up to the top of the street and pick up little old ladies and make sure that they, even when she was a little old lady, pick them up and drive them back to where they needed to go. And but she created such habits and systems in her life that she had space to be able to do all this stuff. She was my model for this. So, habit principles. These things are true, ladies, whether we like them or not. One is that we all have them. Every single person in this room has habits. Good habits, bad habits. You notice them, you don't notice them. We all have them. It's how we operate. And whether we think about them or not, we live much of our life just by habit. Another thing about habits is that the outcomes in our life, the things that ultimately happen, are often lagging measures of our habits. Time will magnify whatever you feed it. It will be your ally or it will be your foe. You know, if you read your Bible consistently for 30 years, you're going to know your Bible. You are. You know, if you decide that, you know, I'll tell you a bad habit. So between September and December, every weekend, Steve and I had either a vacation, a party, an engagement party, a celebration, a something. So I ate enough sugar to sink a ship. And so come January, I felt terrible. I mean, you know, it's no surprise. I had started to develop some new habits there, and they were going in a direction I did not want to go. So they are a lagging measure of your habits. The scale also told me that those were a lagging measure of my habits. We are course correcting. So Small inputs over time have exponentially big impacts. We know this financially, right? Have you ever seen any of these models? If kids start investing like at 22 years old, like just a little bit, like what they'll have when they're 65, it's like nuts. If they start investing super early, little bits of money, what that happens, because it compounds over time. Our habits do compound over time to create something, either something we want or something we don't want. It will happen. It just depends on how you direct it. Invisible habits shape our visible lives. And the heart flows from the habit. A lot of times we want to think ourselves into something, but our habits are not consistent with the way we want it to be. So it doesn't end up there. You know, we're told that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and, you know, to store up treasures in heaven, and, you know, this protection of the heart, because the heart is where everything comes out of. So we want to live in a certain way that's a concordance with our values and where we want to get in life. And if we think we can get here, but we're doing this, we won't be there. So it's just being honest. So much of this is about being honest with ourselves and what we're doing. So, and here's the beautiful thing. This is a neurological gift from God. This is how he made our brains. Habits are actually formed in the lower brain so that the higher brain can do thinking. So as we just kind of get into the routine of doing certain things, it makes it easier for the higher brain to make a grocery list or plan out something or make an outline or like figure out how we're going to apply to college or whatever the thing is. I don't know if you've done this. I did this actually literally yesterday. I was driving home after Wednesday night last night, and I was thinking about all kinds of things. And then all of a sudden, I found myself on Roswell Road. And I was like, I do not remember making any turns or driving to get here, or like 10 minutes later, here I am. I'm on my way home. My upper brain did not need to be engaged in that. I just automatically knew how to get home. My upper brain was trying to do a bunch of problem solving. My lower brain was driving my car and getting me home. I mean, obviously you want the higher brain to kick in if something bad happens, but I mean, that is how habit forms. I mean, I know that's probably been true of you. You find yourself all of a sudden somewhere and you're like, oh gosh, I haven't even been thinking about driving. Do you sometimes reflexively pull out your phone and you don't actually need to do anything? We'll get to that habit in a minute. I'm ruthlessly dealing with that habit in my life. So God has created this as being a mental shortcut from learned experience. The reason I know how to get home is because I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. So it has created a mental shortcut, and this is how God made the brain, so that I can get home and be thinking about other things. It's really beautiful how God has designed all of this. It's very efficient. But here's also the other beautiful thing, as this is a gift. Because of grace and because of mercy and because of redemption, habits do not have to be fixed. The only one who is unchanging is God. You are not. I am not. We can change. And that is the beautiful gift of neuroplasticity. Do you not love it when science figures out like all the things, like this is how God made it? But it's so fascinating how you can rewire your brain. Your brain can heal. Your brain can go in a different direction. And that's neuroplasticity. So even though we have habits that shape us, our brain is able to be rewired. And you think about the mercy of that. And what it takes to actually rewire the brain, you have to know, like I said, first of all, how is it wired right now so that I can have, so I can submit that to God and say, how do I want it to be wired? And how can I intentionally go about doing things in my life to do that? Spiritual disciplines are habit formation. That's what it has been. The renewal of our mind that Scripture calls us to, it's not just an intellectual process. You know, fasting and meditation and all of these things that work, a Sabbath rest, all of these things, this spiritual formation, these disciplines, these are habits that we have. This is why Paul's letters focus so much on habits and why the Christian spiritual disciples have been, or disciplines have been, so habit-centric for a millennia. Because Christianity has always been concerned with shalom, peace in the lower brain, accessible not through willpower alone, but through daily formation. So this is the power of habit. So in this book, if you'll go to page 14, every chapter, he will take us through some good reminders, some ways to help us think very balanced about all of this, and then one physical and one spiritual discipline. That's how this book is structured. I highly encourage you to do this. And let's just see what God does. So he will go through every time how we might ignore the body, how we might idolize the body, but how we can image the body, what we can do with our bodies to wholeheartedly be devoted to him. He will talk about this gardening your body, and he says here, there's a lot you cannot control. Yeah, this is not an exercise in controlling your life. This is to the best of your ability to control the things that are within your power to do so. With also interruptions and other things too. But it's about faithful stewardship. And that's what he says. There are things you can steward. So he will give you spiritual practices for holiness and physical practices for health that go together. He's going to talk about, and I love this so much. Oh my gosh, I love this. Resisting the lies, grace and legalism. Listen to this. Your habits of health will not change God's love for you. Got it? Everyone got that? Does not change God's love for you. But God's love for you should change your habits of health. Because he loves you and because we want to honor him in all ways, it should change our habits. And then he's going to talk about the windows and the mirrors and what that looks like. And the key reminder is that his burden is light. This is not like a big old list of things to do. This is how, and he'll say every time, you don't have to do all of this. Just think, what can you do? What is going to work for you? Every person in this room has got a different body, a different family, different children, different finances, different husbands, different abilities, different skills, different, all of that. Different sin struggles. You're all different. It's how does God want to use this in your life to make a change? Okay, so here in just a minute, I'm going to have Willie play some just quiet music, and we're going to actually start to do this. So if you go to the last page here, this is cultivating these well-worn paths. We're going to do a little weeding and a little planting is the plan. We got to get some stuff out. And I'm going to just tell you kind of how this looks in my life. And then you take this and use this if this works for you, or tweak it if it doesn't. I'm just kind of trying to prime the pump and get you thinking. So one of the things I do oftentimes at the beginning of a new year, which is why I love we're doing this in January. I love a good January. Is I really try to reflect on what has tripped me up. Let me be really honest with myself. What are the things that have gotten in the way of me really doing the things I want to do? What has gotten in the way of maybe my quiet times? What has gotten in the way of my sleep? What has gotten in the way of me really using my time well during the day so that I can be fruitful for the Lord? What has gotten in the way of me loving my husband well? And I just start to write all that stuff down. Just write it all down. Like, what is it? Oftentimes, I will come up with one or two, like, real things. I'm like, okay, that's a nugget there. That rock has got to go. And sometimes this is confession, but you have to be honest with yourself. And let me encourage you with this. God knows. Anything that you would write down here, God's not going to be like, that's shocking. God already knows. He knows better than you do. So just write those things down. This is not about guilt or shame. This is why I say this has to be a non-judgmental. Do not beat yourself up over this. You cannot get out of this if you're going to shame yourself and guilt yourself. This is just being honest. So you write these things down, what they are. I gave some examples. Too much social media, TV, busy calendar, too much sugar, too much alcohol, going to bed too late, on and on and on. I don't know what your thing is, whatever it is. But write that down. You can hide your paper if you want to. You can sit somewhere else when we do this. You don't have to share. So then that gets you to the next question. Okay, so what just practically, regularly, on a regular basis, do I need less of? So I know that there are things I need less of. I need less social media in my life. That thing is such a distraction. I get sucked into that, and I don't know, 20 minutes later, I'm like, why am I here? What am I doing? It's taking away my focus. For me, for Toria, that has messed with my focus and my ability to take things all the way to the end. So because I needed less of that, I'm going through a season of deleting that on my phone. That's for me. What are some obstacles? If I don't go to bed at 9 o'clock every night, and I know we'll get to the chapter on sleep. Y'all are like, what are you talking about? Nobody goes to bed at 9 o'clock at night. But if I don't do that, then I can't start some of the things I want to do in the morning. So I have to have some discipline to do that. I have to plan for that. Those are things for me that I put on my habit tracker. So now, on question number 3, I want you to look to December 31st of this year. And what is something that you would like to be true of you? Now, what is something that you would want to be true of you? This can be a word or a statement or a collection of thoughts. And just write that down. And then if that were true, you're really looking at question 2 and question 4, what needs to be subtracted, what do we need to weed out? But then the question 4 is, what do we need to plant? What do you need to add to your life or have more of in your life to make this a reality? And think of what that looks like daily. What are small habits that you could add that would make a big difference after 365 days? Or let's just say 300 days, because you're not going to be perfect. but if you practice it regularly over time, it will make a difference. I know the things that I can do bodily that are life-giving to me and give me energy, and I know the things that take away from that. And so I have to have a plan for that. So then what I do, so I'm going to give you time to do this. We're just going to have about 10 minutes here in a minute with quiet music. But then this is your homework. And listen, you do not have to use this. I don't care. This is just a reminder to you. Okay, this is a habit tracker. I will tell you, I have found this. We just forget what we want to do. We're just forgetful people. I mean, do you know how many times in Scripture tells us to remember stuff? We forget. So on this habit tracker, what you do is you just put simple things. I will tell you, I have very simple things on my habit tracker. On my filled out habit tracker, which you will see is not perfect. I went on a girls' trip with my daughter, so I have a whole section here that I did not do any of that. But the very first thing I have on here is I set up my coffee at night and my exercise clothes in the morning. And if I do that at night, that little habit of doing that every single night, I get up early and I tend to go to the gym. I mean, it is making it easy for me to do that, you know, or whatever it is. I want to pray the things that are in my journal. I want to read through my Bible, and I want to memorize Scripture. So you know what I do? I have that little stack in my chair with a pen and a candle ready to go. I am not searching for that in the morning. That is ready to go. And there are just certain things that like are just greasing the wheels to make it easier to do these things. Another thing is I don't bring my phone downstairs with me in the morning. That has been a hard habit to break. There's a lot I got to do on that phone, but not first thing in the morning, I don't. So, I mean, just whatever your thing is, I am throwing out suggestions. You are different than me. This is what I need. I am not a naturally disciplined person. I have got to put this in my life in order to be like this. And again, not perfect. But it's me submitting this to the Lord. Like, I, Lord, want to be freed up. I want to be clear and consistent so that I can live wholeheartedly for you. So Willie is going to play a little soft music here for about 10-ish minutes. And then small group leaders at about 11:20, if you will go ahead and just start your time together, and you can go through these discussion questions and chat. All right. Thanks, y'all. Thank you.